Regarding the new COVID variant, President Biden said no shutdowns or lockdowns. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 29th day of November. Hope you had a great weekend, and thanks again for being here. In other business news, oil prices rebounded a bit today. What country has the most guns? We'll share that answer with you today. We'll also talk about cars, like what is the slowest selling car in the U.S.? We'll share that. And we've got some fast food news for you. Amazon workers in Alabama will get a second shot at creating a union. We've got the Wall Street Report, and Jack Dorsey steps down from Twitter. Let's go.
Insight on Business the News Hour, Week in Review with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Taro International, a training company that helps business leaders become more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. Focus and Find, socially responsible recruiting, centered on helping businesses build a diverse workforce that is both innovative and productive. FocusandFind.com. Insight on Business the News Hour, Week in Review on News Talk 1540 KXEL, is also supported by the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original ag parts recyclers, with members worldwide. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Once again, thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and you want to follow us on Twitter. We're going to talk about that in just a bit, as a matter of fact. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, the markets reacted positively once President Biden told the media there would be no further shutdowns or lockdowns in dealing with the new COVID variant. Market Watch is reporting that in a televised address about the variant, Biden said Omicron is a cause for concern, but not panic, and the fight against the variant will not involve shutdowns or lockdowns. He also said that, quote, "We'll fight this variant with scientific and knowledgeable actions and speed, not chaos and confusion," end quote. He also said the vaccines likely offer protection against this new COVID strain. The president went on to say that he'll be putting forward a detailed strategy on how to fight COVID this winter, saying, quote, "not with shutdowns or lockdowns, but with more widespread vaccinations, boosters, testing, and more," end quote. The markets, well, they rebounded, and I'll share those numbers with you in just a bit. The stock market wasn't the only market to bounce upward. Oil was on the trade, up by 2.8% for West Texas Intermediate crude, settling at $70.06 for January delivery. You know, in some nations, it's really, really difficult to buy and own a gun. Great Britain and Canada have some of the strictest gun laws on the planet. Meanwhile, in France, people have to take a simple test and show that they're physically and mentally fit. Panama has similar lax laws, and so does Switzerland. 24/7 Wall Street is reporting that gun ownership is usually measured by total guns and guns per 100 residents. The Small Arms Survey tracks both of those by country. So, the question is, which country has the most guns? And if you said the United States, you're correct. The U.S. topped the list of both total firearms and firearms per resident. In both cases, no other nation is even close. Total civilian-held and illicit firearms in America were estimated at over 339 million. The next closest country was India at 71.1 million, but the population in India is four times that the size of the U.S. America's guns per 100 residents, based on the same database, are 120.5. The next closest nation is Yemen at 52.8. Now, certainly some of the consequences of gun ownership in America have been terrible. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there have been over 40,000 gun deaths this year. A total of 21,000 of those have been suicides. There have been, based on the same source, 646 mass shootings in America so far this year. Based on recent battles over gun laws in the U.S., the ability to obtain guns is not likely to be curtailed. That means the U.S. will top the list of guns by country for decades or even longer. See what you learn here? All right, let's switch gears figuratively and talk about cars. Our friends at iccars.com took a look at how long cars remain on dealer lots, which gives us a pretty good look at what cars sit for a really long time and what cars get picked up quickly. One metric used by the industry is called average days to sell. This measures the time from when the car reaches a dealer from the manufacturer until that car is driven away by a consumer. The figure normally runs between 50 and 60 days. By October, the number had dropped to 32. Now, for some cars, the number was much smaller. The figure for a Kia Stelos, a compact sport utility vehicle that carries a price tag of $27,000, was 7.7 days as of October. That's a pretty short time period. The Acura TLX, on the other hand, had stayed at dealers for an average of 165 days as of October. So what kind of a car is that? Well, the TLX is a sports sedan, a category currently out of favor with consumers. Additionally, Acura, which is part of Honda, has been among the poorest-selling luxury car lines in America, overshadowed by Lexus, Mercedes, BMW, and Audi. Now, it does get fairly good reviews, however. Car and Driver rates it 8.1 out of 10, and U.S. News gives it a grade of 8.6 out of 10. Wall Street 24/7 is reporting that Americans have shifted their buying patterns from sedans to SUVs, crossovers, and pickups in the past decade. Among the 20 fastest-selling vehicles in October, nearly all were SUVs or crossovers. One of the largest fast food chains in the U.S. is having the same issues we've been talking about for weeks: labor shortages and supply chain troubles. Eat This, Not That is reporting that Jack in the Box, with more than 2,200 locations and annual system sales of nearly $3.7 billion, is being impacted negatively. According to Restaurant Business, the chain's lack of workers, especially during late-night shifts, led to an overall reduction in sales of about 3% in recent months, while supply chain issues reduced sales by another 1%. One of the interesting parts of the report is that sales were up by 0.6% at franchised stores, which constitute the bulk of the chain's footprint, but the figures were dragged down to 0.1% because of a 4.4% decline in sales at company-operated locations. It would seem that franchise stores are doing better than those company-owned places. To bolster its flagging numbers, Jack in the Box is looking to price increases. Customers can expect to see what the company executives are calling mid to high single-digit increases in menu prices next year. That, too, is coming to us from Restaurant Business. Workers in Alabama will be getting a second shot at creating a union there. Bloomberg is reporting that after losing the first election in April, the retail, wholesale, and department store union appealed the outcome to the National Labor Relations Board, alleging that Amazon had intimidated workers and pressured them to cast votes in a mailbox the company had installed on its property in full view of security cameras. Amazon denied any wrongdoing. Union President Stuart Applebaum said in a statement, quote, "Today's decision confirms what we were saying all along, that Amazon's intimidation and interference prevented workers from having a fair say in whether they wanted a union at their workplace. Amazon workers deserve to have a voice at work, which can only come from a union," end quote. Amazon, by the way, did not immediately respond to a request for a comment. Like we reported earlier, following President Biden's White House address about the new COVID variant, the markets, they rebounded. The Dow closed up by 236 points to end the trade at 35,135. The NASDAQ gained 291 points to settle at 15,782, while the S&P 500 picked up 60 points, closing at 4655. Investors, yeah, they took a breath today and saw a buying opportunity. All three major indexes, you guessed it, did well. And finally, there is this. Jack Dorsey is done again at Twitter. Chief Technology Officer Parag Agrawal will be his replacement. Dorsey posted his farewell letter to employees as a tweet on Monday, noting his replacement was selected unanimously by the board and that Salesforce President and COO Brett Taylor will take over his chair. He said, quote, "This was my decision and I own it," end quote. As well as leading Twitter, Dorsey is also the CEO of the digital payments company Square. The now former CEO Dorsey will remain on the board until his term expires at the 2022 meeting of stockholders. Dorsey previously left Twitter back in 2008 after he was fired, but resumed his role as CEO in 2015. The market reacted instantly to the reporting on Monday morning, pushing the social media company's stock up sharply before trading was halted. The New York Times reports employees and investors are split on Dorsey's tenure, with some contending that he spent too much of his time on Square and other passion projects, and others staunchly uniting behind him last year during an attempt by investors to force him out. Well, that's a wrap for today's business news headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.